RadioArchives.com presents The Crime to Come, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by Police Captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The Crime to Come. Chapter 1. Stranger in Town. He was a rather puny-looking man. His name was William Wilkerson, and everybody called him Willie, in the small town where he came from, that is. Here in New York he wasn't even noticed. He didn't know anyone. He could have cursed, if he had been the cursing type. The boss who had sent him here to get some critically needed supplies for the factory. Willie Wilkerson didn't like New York, and never had. At the moment, he liked it less than ever. He had spent $4 on taxi fares already, traveling from one hotel to another, and was still without a place to sleep. It was almost 9 in the evening, and he was getting wrought up about sleeping in a park. His 2 traveling bags were growing incredibly heavy. He had been on a train all night and day and hadn't slept. He never could on trains. Willie's fatigue and desperation were becoming pathetic. He lugged his bags out of another hotel lobby and spent 10 minutes flagging a cab. This time he drew a sympathetic driver, a man named Konstantinos Spiraglios, according to his license card. Willie always tried to remember the names of the drivers, just in case a policeman might ask him some time or other.
"Kind of tough, ain't it, bud?"
The driver wagged his head.
"You got to have a reservation days ahead in this town." "Where'll it be?"
"I don't know." Willie was at least glad of someone to talk to. "I haven't the faintest idea. I've been to 7 hotels already, and nobody checks out anymore. Do you know of any place where I could find a room? I'm not particular, so long as it's clean and quiet."
The driver rubbed his chin. "In this town, mister, that's a big order, especially the quiet part. You don't mind going way uptown?"
"Uptown, downtown, midtown, or crosstown," Willie sighed, "just so I get some sleep."
"Well, there's a little joint up around 102nd Street. Not many know of the place. It's just got permanent guests, like a boarding house. The other day, I takes 2 guys up there, and they were talking. A cab driver keeps his ears open, pal. I heard 'em say they could always get a room there."
"Want to take a chance?"
"Yes, yes, anything," Willie agreed. "Anything at all."
Some 35 minutes later, Willie was deposited, baggage and all, on the sidewalk in front of the Wilton Hotel. It was a narrow building and quite tall, maybe 15 or 16 stories. Willie was not impressed, but if he could get a room there, snuggle under covers and just sleep, it would be better than the promises of the Waldorf Astoria. He paid the driver, in a wild splurge added a $0.50 tip, and toted his bags into the hotel lobby. He was received without gusto, acclaim, or bellboys.